From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. When a believer has fallen to a low, sad state of feeling, he often tries to lift himself out of it by chastening himself with dark and doleful fears. Such is not the way to rise from the dust, but to continue in it. As well chain the eagle's wing to make it mount, as doubt in order to increase our grace. It is not the law, but the gospel which saves the seeking soul at first. And it is not a legal bondage, but gospel liberty, which can restore the fainting believer afterwards. Slavish fear brings not back the backslider to God, but the sweet wooings of love allure him to Jesus' bosom. Are you this morning thirsting for the living God, and unhappy because you cannot find him to the delight of your heart? Have you lost the joy of religion, and is this your prayer? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Are you conscious also that you are barren like the dry ground, that you are not bringing forth the fruit unto God which he has a right to expect of you, that you are not so useful in the church or in the world as your heart desires to be? Then here is exactly the promise which you need. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. You shall receive the grace which you so much require, and you shall have it to the utmost reach of your needs. Water refreshes the thirsty. You shall be refreshed. Your desire shall be gratified. Water quickens sleeping vegetable life. Your life shall be quickened by fresh grace. Water swells the buds and makes the fruits ripen. You shall have fructifying grace. You shall be made fruitful in the ways of God. Whatever good quality there is in divine grace, you shall enjoy it to the full. All the riches of divine grace you shall receive in plenty. You shall be, as it were, drenched with it. And as sometimes the meadows become flooded by the bursting rivers, and the fields are turned into pools, so shall you be. The thirsty land shall be springs of water.
Let thy blessing
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. As he continues his series of studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In spite of the flagrant disregard for the Lord's day, God has commanded men to keep one day in seven for worship of himself. Divine in its origin and moral in its constitution, the fourth commandment is gracious in its purpose, that of providing both physical and spiritual rest for man. A picture of the love of God in Christ, the Sabbath is permanent in its duration, despite men's attempts to argue it away. Now to continue this message on the fourth commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
Let me point this out to you. Saturday is not of the essence of the Sabbath. There's a very, very intricate thing here that I'm not going to get into because I really am not convinced at all by it. But for centuries, going away back even to the time of Christ, and before it, there was debate among scholars and Jewish scholars at that as to how the Jewish calendar was set up. First of all, they had 12 months of 30 days. That will tell you that every day they had five, or every year they had 5 days left over. So twice a year they inserted 2 days and 3 days. It's one difficulty. Secondly, there's a whole series of Sabbaths that are set by date. Take your birthday, for instance. It's set by date. Right? So if it happens on a Saturday this year, is it going to happen on a Saturday next year? No. Why? Because if it's set by date, it must change by day. And there are people who argue that because this series of Sabbaths was set up by date, that the Sabbath actually changed and it was observed in every day of the week as the years went by. Personally, I'm not convinced of that at all. But I'm simply saying to you that Saturday is not of the essence of the Sabbath. The fourth commandment is worded very carefully. The Lord blessed the seventh day, not the seventh day of the week. He never says that. He's very careful in his words. And I'll say why he's careful. Because what he is stipulating is one day in seven, 6 days of labor, one day of rest. That's what he's stipulating. Now think of what he did for the first day. The Lord Jesus rose on the first day of the week. He met his disciples on the first day of the week. And then in succeeding first days, he met his disciples. When he poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it was on the first day of the week. The New Testament church met on the first day of the week. Oh, they went evangelizing into Jewish synagogues on the seventh day, but they met for their own assemblies on the first day of the week. When Paul was in Troas, he went for the meeting of the church on the first day of the week. When he wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, he says, when you meet together on the first day of the week, you set aside your gifts and offerings for the work of God. Now, this is clearly a precedent. And I want to set something down to you that I hope you'll never forget. What the apostles did establishes a rule for us just as clearly as what the apostles said. If the apostles had said the church must meet on the first day of the week on a regular basis as the Christian Sabbath, which of us would for one moment deny it? But the apostles have given us, by what they did, the clear pattern that the New Testament church met on the first day of the week. Why? Nobody else met on that day as a holy day. The Jews didn't look on it as a holy day. Nobody else did. It was the church that met uniquely on that day of the week. And that's the norm for the church of Christ. Furthermore, that's the day the Lord calls in Revelation 1 verse 10, the Lord's Day. Remember what I said about the Sabbath, the seventh day in the Old Covenant? He called it my day. Now he calls this the Lord's Day. Some people will tell you that in Revelation 1 that means the day of the Lord, but they're just not giving you it straight. The Greek expression is very different. It's not the same. The Lord's Day and the day of the Lord. There are two things in the New Testament that are said to be the Lord's in this phrase. One is the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians 10:21. And this is the Lord's day. Notice the expression. This is the very claim he made for the Sabbath. In other words, in his own terminology, the Lord is putting his stamp on the first day as the Christian Sabbath day. The Old Testament itself prepares us for that change. It's a wonderful thing in Psalm 118, verse 22 to 24. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Now, what does that refer to? The commentators will tell you it refers to Israel. Some will say it refers to David. Well, be that as it may, if it had any fulfillment in them, so be it. But what does the Bible say? That's one of the most commonly quoted texts from the Old Testament into the New. And what does the Bible say uniformly? Christ is the stone that the builders rejected. And by his resurrection, he became the headstone of the corner. That's the New Testament commentary in that text. That's the New Testament interpretation. Now notice, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. As soon as he mentions the resurrection of Christ, he mentions a day which the Lord hath made, or formed, or fashioned, or appointed. Is that just coincidence? I believe the reference here goes beyond the Christian Sabbath. But you can't exclude the Sabbath from it. As soon as the Lord raised his Son from the dead, he said, this is the day that I have made, I have appointed. I have formed it and I have fashioned it. That's the Old Testament preparing us for the change of day. The New Testament plainly intimates the change of day. Let me invite your attention to Hebrews 4, verses 9 and 10. This is a very important text. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. I love the Authorized Version of the Scriptures. I think there's nothing like it in the English language. And yet, I have to be honest, when you read that, I don't think one person in 100 is going to come very quickly to an understanding of what the Holy Ghost is teaching. Let me give you, in a capsule, the teaching of Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 teaches that Canaan rest was typical of the spiritual rest of salvation that God's people enjoy. Secondly, it teaches that salvation rest is in Christ through His finished work. That's the meaning of verse 10. He that has entered into His rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from His. Now tell me, stop and think for a minute. Get the picture. God did a work of creation and rested. Somebody else here did a work, finished it, and rested. That's what verse 10 is saying. Who is that somebody else? Who else ever did a work in which he could rest? There's only one answer, you know. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one in verse 10 who entered into his rest. This man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of God. He had finished his work. He rested because his work was finished. And that's the basis of our salvation. Now, for that reason, verse 9, there remaineth a rest to the people of God, because Christ has finished his work. Let me point something out to you. The word remaineth has the idea of remaining or left to us from what has gone before. The whole book of Hebrews is talking about things that are taken away from what has gone before. The Old Testament sacrifices, the Old Testament days, the Old Testament ritual, the Old Testament tabernacle. It's all taken away. But here's something that has not been taken away. That's the meaning of the verb remaineth. Here's something that is left to us. What is it? A rest. Now, here's an interesting thing. Right throughout the book of Hebrews chapter 4, there is an emphasis on rest. And the Greek term that's used is the same again and again. It's basically the word that gives us the English word pause. But when he comes to verse 9, he says, there is left to us from what has gone before a sabbatismos. There's no doubt as to what it means. It's the only time it appears in the New Testament, but it does appear in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and it's quite clear what it means. It is a keeping of the Sabbath day. It's a keeping of Sabbath. And I think if the New Testament in Greek had been put into English in so many words, because the Lord Jesus Christ has finished his work and he's gone into heaven, therefore there remains to the people of God a keeping of Sabbath, I don't think anybody would have the audacity to say that the Sabbath day is now dead to the people of God. No, no, the Christian Sabbath is the Lord's day, the memorial of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sabbath is permanent in its duration. It's simple in its precept. We have pointed out it requires rest, refreshment, and worship. Today, to give to the Lord, to hallow it, to sanctify it, and to celebrate our Redeemer's resurrection. And this Sabbath is binding on us. to do those things. Did you ever think of Hebrews 10:25? Now remember, this is the book that I've just been expounding from in Hebrews chapter 4. And in chapter 10:25, Paul writes, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. But I think I've done enough to prove that those assemblies took place on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, the day of Hebrews 4:9, a keeping of Sabbath, in commemoration of the resurrection of Christ. This is where we catch our breath after a busy week. This is where we renew our strength to live for Christ in a world of sin. So, the precept is rest, refreshment, and worship. That's how to keep the Sabbath day. This commandment forbids work on the Sabbath day, and it forbids the willful neglect of Sabbath duties. That's very clear from our text. Isaiah, in one of the most important texts in the Bible on the Sabbath, in chapter 58, verse 13, says, turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, and honorable. It tells you to honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Actually, it says, nor speaking a word. Now, obviously, it can't just mean you stop speaking on the Sabbath day. But there's no biblical rule or example to that end. And as I thought of it, how did God create? God spoke. Each day He created by His Word. And when He came to the Sabbath day, His creative Word did not go forth. He had finished. He wasn't speaking His Word. Creative. Creation was His business. He rested from it the Sabbath day. And that's what this is telling us. The other days of the week, your word, your purpose, your business, your thing, that's what's engaging your mind. But not on the Sabbath day. Christians should not treat the Sabbath day as just another day to work and just another day for their own pleasure, or their own recreation, or their own pursuits. And yet withal, the Lord allows works of necessity and mercy and piety. This is not a hard and cruel imposition surrounded by endless hair splitting. The Lord Jesus Christ did work on the Sabbath day. He allowed His disciples to pluck corn on the Sabbath day to feed and to satisfy their hunger. He said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, when He says the Sabbath was made for man, He says it's made for his good. Man was not made for the Sabbath. In other words, man is not to be the slave of endless do's and don'ts and regulations that men have made up. He says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So the question is, what does the Lord allow? He allows works of necessity.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.